some of us think, many of us think we think, and most of us never think of thinking. To think wisely, life becomes a process of growing. The art of wise parenting is to foster, empower children to be in the dimension of growing, and that is possible if wise thinking is introjected into the child. Life can be a process of growing, or life can be a process of aging. Aging is adding years to your life, and growing is adding life to your years. It is very important as parents to teach children to add life to their years. Adding life to their years is a very important process of empowering the child. If I closely observe, I find very few people are really growing. Most of the people are sheerly aging. To grow up is very different from growing old. Listen to this nice example. There was a mother who came to the child early morning about 7:30, waking up her only son and telling, "Son, you have to go to school." And the son, cozily under the bed, says, "Mommy, nobody likes me in school." Again the mother says, "But son, you have to go to school or else you can never come up in life." Again the son says, "Mommy, the teachers don't like me in school." Again the mother persuades the son, "But you have to go to school, son. You are the principal of the school. You are 45 years old. You have to go." Just see, friends, here is the person who is the principal of the school, 45 years old, and still had to be persuaded to go to school. Very few people grow up. Most of the people grow old. The art of wise parenting is to empower children to really grow up rather than sheerly grow old. Parenting is not sheerly teaching. If parents are a learning people, then automatically they can be very good teachers. If parents focus on only teaching and not learning, then that teaching will have no power, will have no vitality. So I say wise parenting involves that they have to be good learners. They themselves should be learners, and out of their learning, if they teach, their words will have power and vitality. There's a beautiful expression which says, "Who you are, speak so loudly, I can't hear what you are saying." It means your being speaks more louder than your sheer words. That's why Swami Vivekananda, in the Parliament of World Religions, said, "Brothers and sisters of America, hardly a few minutes speech, the congregation, which did not really know Swami Vivekananda, clapped for 2 minutes, and he only started saying, 'Oh, brothers and sisters of America.'" So it is not the words, it is the person behind the words which convey. So therefore, if parents are learning individuals rather than sheer advising individuals, then their learning will have power, and their power will have vitality to their words, and that will have a deep impact to the growing child. One of the most important dimensions of learning, which parents first should get exposed to, and only then they can transmit this vision to the children, is learn first to learn from nature itself. We are born from nature, we exist in nature, we die back into nature. Learn from nature. Study the life of Dattatreya, the son of Anusuya. The ancient story shows that he was so young, but his whole energy field was so vibrant, so alive. Such a youngster, the son of Anusuya, was so vibrant and so alive. The king of that area came to him and said, "Who is your guru? Your energy field is so beautiful." This is an ancient story in the Indian mythology. And he said, "I have 25 gurus, and nature is my greatest guru." The king thought it is a metaphor, but when he finally went to Dattatreya's place, to his surprise, he found nature was his guru. One of his guru, was moon. And they asked how moon can be your guru, and to which he says, see, sun's light is scorching, but the same sunlight reflected on the moon becomes a cooling moonlight. So Dattatreya learned from this that if you can be humble like a moon, then you will find you can generate a very positive energy. Hence Lord Krishna in the Gita says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. He says you should have Vidya but Vinaya. So Dattatreya learned from the moon to be humble, and when you are humble, an alchemy can take place. Dattatreya's another guru was a flower. And when the king asked, what did you learn from the flower? He said, look at the plant. It takes garbage from the mother earth. That garbage stinks, but the plant draws the same garbage and give a fragrant flower. If I can be like a flower, can convert the alchemy, then I can radiate fragrance. So that's why when bad things happen to good people, they become better and not bitter. And hence Dattatreya learned from 25 gurus, and therefore nature is a great guru. Every parent should learn from nature. And if you are a learning parent, that wisdom you can transfer it to your child. And therefore the first important dimension to be a wise parent is you become a learning individual. Let nature become your greatest master. And then we can do this transmission to the child. Learn from nature is a great teaching that you have to teach to your child out of experience. Another important dimension that we can learn from Indian culture, from Indian ethos, is a very beautiful ancient concept of Ardha Narishwara. If you have seen any of the statues of Ardha Narishwara, you will find half Shiva and half Parvati, which means that there is a male energy in us, there is a female energy in us. Now we are born from man and woman, therefore each individual has a male energy, has a female energy. Now wise parenting involves balancing the male and the female energy, the yin and the yang. If male and female energy, the Shiva and Parvati in you, is balanced, then it is called Ardha Narishwara, or a total individual. Now, what is the male energy which stands for Shiva? It means creativity. Female energy, Parvati, means deep acceptance. There are so many qualities in a male energy, there are so many qualities in a female energy. One of the quality is male energy stands for creativity. If you see, man always wants to achieve, always wants to reach some goal. If he sees a mountain, he wants to climb on the top of the mountain and put a flag. If he sees the Himalayas, he wants to go on the top of it. He sees the moon, he wants to go to the moon. Generally, male's energy wants to achieve. Whereas a woman is not so interested to go to the moon. She'll say, there is no shopping in the moon. What's the point in going to the moon? So I'm talking of an energy, not a physical being. So there's a male energy in us, female energy. Male Shiva stands for creativity. Female energy is a deep acceptance energy. Tremendous receptivity energy. So therefore, wise parenting involves, if you can balance these two energies in the child, make the child creative, which is the male energy. Make a child accept certain facts of life, which is a female energy. If this creativity and acceptance is balanced, then Shiva and Parvati in us is synchronized and thereby creates an ecological balance. Friends, closely observe, the external ecology is disturbed because the internal ecology is disturbed. We are constantly in war with the external because there is a war internal within us. This internal war is because there is an imbalance of energy fields. Shiva and Parvati, his creativity and acceptance has to be balanced. If you find a child always accepting things and not being creative, you will find that child will have a very lethargic approach towards life. If you find your child always adventurous, always trying to go forward, always creating, but not accepting things, then the male energy is predominant and acceptance is not there. And I find invariably in the West, people are very, very creative, but they can't accept certain facts of life. So they are creative, but their stress level is extremely high because acceptance is not there. But in India, people accept and they don't work on creativity. You'll find they are relatively more peaceful, but creativity does not happen. So wise parenting is to see in your child that creativity and acceptance balanced. Now, creativity happens in an individual if you come from a certain energy field. And that energy field come from cans, don't come from can'ts. The mission statement of my trust says, cans create success, can'ts create failure. I've studied successful people and I find successful people always have come from can. I found always failures have come from can'ts. If parents find the child not creative, then they have to see their actions have come because of their thoughts. And if their thoughts have this thought of can't, they can't be creative. So you have to change their thoughts, change their actions, and their thoughts also come from values. And if there is a value call I can, then the thoughts will be I can, and your actions will be I can, then a person is creative. If the parents find a child not creative and you want to change the action, change the thoughts, change the value, and you have to sow the value, can's create success, can'ts create failure. And if you can empower the child, come from can, and the child will invariably say, but I can't mommy, I can't daddy, then you have to do what is called reframing. You have to reframe their thought and say, more than physical disability, mental disability is more crippling. I was reading a book called My Left Foot, where a person is fully crippled, only his left foot and his brain is functioning. And you find this person has become so powerful, he has written a novel, he has created painting. Now, physically he is disabled, but mentally he is not disabled. Take this great scientist, Stephen Hawking. Now, he is so physically disabled, but mentally he is very powerful and he is one of the greatest scientists of this century. So therefore, you have to give inspiring real incidences to the children and say, more than physical disability, it is the mental disability is crippling. If your mind has a value system called I can't, you have to convert I can't into I can. And the moment you do that, you will find now creativity opens up from I can rather than I can't. You have to empower a child. Now you find some children are very, very creative. And when some failures happen in life, they can't accept failures at all. When very creative people don't have this female energy called acceptance, any failure will crush them. Then parenting involves making the child be humble enough to accept facts of life. And having accepted facts of life, can you go proactively in a creative mode? This acceptance is a very important energy a parent has to create in the child. I always tell, life is like painting and not sheer arithmetics. Arithmetics is you dabble with facts. Painting is whatever you want, you learn how to create it. So you have to paint in the child, develop this energy called acceptance. Like even in weightlifting, if you find your biceps are weak, then you do more exercise on the biceps. So to the parents should find acceptance is very important quality that one has to learn to take it gracefully. I've seen in the West, with whatever little experience, they are very creative, but they can't accept things. And when they don't accept things, their tension level is extremely high. There was a parent recently who came to my workshop and said, Swamiji, life is not fair. Therefore, I am miserable. I told her, who said life is fair? It is your expectation life should be fair. I said, life is not fair. But the challenge of life is accepting the fact life is not fair. And the moment you accept that life is not fair, then in that sheer acceptance, there is an intelligence which gets generated by which you will use whatever life gives you. Please understand, life is not fair. So often, a child is born disabled, a child is born very healthy. A person is blind, there's another person who makes other people blind. Life is not fair. But the power of life is, I accept I am born in a poor family. Having accepted, can I use whatever life gives me? And if I can empower that, in the sheer acceptance, there is a magic of intelligence which emerges. And then you will find that acceptance leads you to creativity. So therefore, I told her, accept the fact, life is not fair. Now empower the child to use whatever life has given. And I rolled out examples of creative people who have been disabled. I always give this beautiful example. A crocodile was caught in the net and a boy was passing that side, please save me from the net. The boy said, don't think I'm such an idiot. If I save you from the net, you will be the first person to eat me. But the crocodile with its crocodile tears pleaded with the boy, I may look very cruel, but my heart is like a loving mother. I will be ever grateful to you if you save me from this net. The boy got coaxed and persuaded, so he came and cut the net in which the crocodile was caught. And the moment the net was cut, the crocodile caught hold of the boy to eat. The boy said, you have cheated me. You promised that you will not kill me. And the crocodile said, such is the way of the world, that there is cheating. We say one thing, we mean yet another thing. The boy said, I cannot accept this statement. Such is the way of the world. The crocodile said, ask anybody. Such is the way of the world. There is cheating. There is injustice. There are lies. But still the boy could not accept. Then the boy asked the bird on the tree, oh bird, is it true that such is the way of the world, that there is injustice? And the bird said, absolutely true. Such is the way of the world. I lay my egg on the top of the tree. A snake comes right from the bottom and eats my egg. So such is the way of the world, that there is injustice. Still the boy's heart could not accept such a fact, and then asked a donkey which was passing that side, oh donkey, is it true such is the way of the world, that there is injustice? And the donkey said, absolutely true. Just look, the master used me nicely, and after using me, I've become old. He has left me to the forest for the jackals to eat me. Such is the way of the world. Still the boy could not accept. The boy asked the rabbit passing that side, oh rabbit, is it true that such is the way of the world, that there is injustice? The rabbit said, whoever has said this, I can't accept the statement. First, I like to have a dialogue with the person and then arrive at a conclusion. The crocodile's ego got very upset and told the rabbit, how do you say such is not the way of the world? The rabbit said, I did not say such is not the way of the world. I said, let us have a dialogue and then arrive at the conclusion. The crocodile said, don't think I'm such a fool. If I have a dialogue, then the boy will run away. The rabbit said, you are such a coward that you don't even have the guts to have a dialogue. And not only that, where can the boy go away? Your tail is so powerful, one shot from the tail, the boy will fall. So I will not accept this statement, such is the way of the world, unless we have a dialogue. The crocodile's ego got affected, left the boy and says, let us have a dialogue, let us see. The moment the crocodile left the boy, the rabbit immediately said, oh boy, run, run. And the boy just ran. The crocodile got very annoyed. With annoyance, looks at the rabbit and said, you have cheated me. And the rabbit said, such is the way of the world. Then the rabbit told the boy, go and call the villagers and come and kill the crocodile. Then again the crocodile looked at the boy and said, "This is too cruel on your part to do this." Then the rabbit said, "Such is the way of the world." The boy brings the villagers, kills the crocodile, and before the boy could stop, the boy's dog rushes towards the rabbit and eats the rabbit. And the boy sits down sadly and says, "What the crocodile said is absolutely true. Such is the way of the world." Learn to accept things. Such is the way of the world. But if you simply learn to accept without creativity, then it is resignation. So I'm not talking of resignation. At the same time, I'm not talking of only creativity. Life should be a balance of being creative and also accept. Out of acceptance, look forward with cans and not cans. Therefore, this dimension, every parent should be alert and see whether the child's balance of Shiva and Parvati, the male and female energy, the creativity and acceptance, is it balanced? Once there is a balance, then you find that energy field can live very wisely in the world. You will use whatever life gives you rather than being used by life. This is a skill, this is an insight that every parent should give as a gift to their children. Sometime back, a person came to me in one of my workshops and said, Swamiji, I'm in great tension. I asked him, "What's your tension?" He said, "I want to know what is in my previous birth. I want to know who I was in my previous birth. Because I can't stand this fact that I don't know my past." I asked him, "Why do you want to know?" He said, "Please don't ask me all these questions, Swamiji. I'm sure you're well-versed in Buddhism." I said, "Yes." "And there is a Buddhist technique which helps us to go in our previous birth." I said, "Yes." "I'm sure you know this." I told him, "Yes. So therefore, please tell me who I was in my previous birth." Then I told him, "Let us say I take you through this Buddhist technique of how to go to your previous birth. And say in your previous birth, you are born as a rat. Now in this birth, when you come back with your memory that the previous birth I was born as a rat, then you will see the complications which can happen. Then any rat in your house, you will not be able to kill. Why? Because these rats can be your grandchildren. So you will land up in deep trouble like this. So God in His infinite wisdom has made us forget our previous births. So what I'm trying to convey is, let us be humble enough to accept certain facts of life. And let us have the commitment to go about creatively. So this balancing is very important dimension to be looked into.